a Lafayette. It was the 444. I think the model number of it. I remember that rig. In fact, I even have one. Strangely enough, HB-444, which was the top-of-the-line CB that Lafayette had back then. And he was on CB, and he used to talk chit-chat and all that stuff, and he was never fined. We're talking about the 60s. He had a Super Magnum antenna on the roof. I remember that. And he also belonged to the CB club that I belonged to. I joined it. So I don't think the FCC was really going after people back then unless there was some legitimate complaint. I'm surprised because when you said 74, I was already in this, my second parent's house. I had I had a bunch of antennas up. One of the later antennas was the Super Scanner, antenna specialist Super Scanner, which I have one now and I'm rebuilding it. And an SBE console radio, that's what it's called, which operates sideband, and I was operating sideband, single sideband. So I'm surprised this guy paid a visit and said it was illegal, especially in the mid-70s. So unless there was something else going on.
Yeah, well, like I said, they only came out if someone specifically called them. That's the way they worked. Probably even more, even today. Yeah, they're not going to go out and check out somebody unless there's a specific complaint from one or others, either involving interference, radio-wise, or some other kind of malicious interference. Otherwise, they hardly bother. So I'm sure that his landlord had called them because they didn't like that he had put up an antenna on the roof. He was renting at the time. So, and then I started causing TBI to the people upstairs, and my father said, they're paying us rent. You can't interfere with their TV. So I had to limit my operations only when they were out of the house, which wasn't too often. So then we both got rid of our CBs, got walkie-talkies, and we carried on that way for a while with no problem, and I sold mine, and he sold his. I went on to become a ham later on, but he never did. That's our little history there on the radio world.
Okay, WHCDO. Yeah, because I know because you mentioned business band, but in thinking about it, the television interference sounds more likely because that was an issue back then. Most of these rigs had TDI. It would actually be called a TDI trap. TDI meaning interference trap was a little coil which was added to these CBs that would trap out the second harmonic of the CB frequencies that are being used because it would fall on channel 2 and channel 4, mostly channel 2. The television frequencies, channel 2 and the bandwidth being 6 megacycles wide for television transmission. So it would interfere with that for sure because 27 times 2 is 54 megs all around there. And I think channel 2's carrier the actual carrier frequency, I think is 55 points. I forget the exact frequency, 55 something point something meg. So you're talking right there, right smack in that in the second harmonic. So the TDI filter would supposedly work and knock down the signal. But the question is, how far did it knock it down? It would attenuate the second harmonic. And that was a function of how well that filter. It was Lafayette just used one little coil. All their rigs have it. Even their Comstat 25A has it. In the back, it actually says TDI. TDI adjustment. It's just a little tuned circuit, but it was not a very fancy tuned circuit. So I don't know how much it really attenuated the second harmonic. It depended. course, it was depending on where the antenna was located in relation to the TV antenna that you had up on your roof and other factors. So that would, anyway, so that would sound more likely that the guy, the landlord, called for his disappearance. All right, back to you, WH Studio.
Yeah, certainly that makes sense, yeah. 27 times 2. Yeah, TVI was certainly a major problem back then with the TV antennas from both CB and, of course, 6 meters. 6 meters would just tear up channel 2. That's why a lot of guys operated 6 meters from the car, not from the home base, because it would just really tear up channel 2. I remember back in the late 60s, sometimes on channel 2, you'd get all of a sudden you see the squiggly lines coming across, and once in a while you might hear voices. Those were hams operating 6 meters in the car. It lasted like a few minutes, and then it was gone as they get out of range. So I never realized that back then, but yeah, I guess channel 2 is like 54 megahertz to 60. It's got a wide, pretty wide space, so 6 meters is actually channel 1. I've had people ask me, how come there's no channel 1 on the TV dial back then? And I said, well, because channel 1 was actually allocated for a radio band, it's a ham radio band. Not many people know that. KA2NYO.
WB2COC.
Okay, Steve is back. I'll give it to you next. Very good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, channel 1. It was only channel 2, 54 to 60 megs. Yeah. Yeah, strange what we didn't know back then or forgot or what have you. So, yeah, I have FCC, actually, no, ARRL came out with a book of interference, which I happen to have that book also. I save everything, and I collect everything, so I have that book on interference, and I think what I recall, they call it a herringbone type of interference that would come over your TV, and I guess because that's what it would look like. And now you would see these horizontal and triangular shaped lines that would appear across the screen, and you could see a change as modulation was being produced. When you modulated the CB, you see how the pattern would change as opposed to just a dead carrier. But yeah, it would definitely interfere with that, with your channel 2 or frequencies, giving you a herringbone effect. So, yep. we don't have that trouble anymore, not with what's going on now with cable and everything else. So that's a good thing. But cable is strange. We don't have, CBs don't interfere with TVs, but the cable interferes with the amateur bands, because some of the cable, and Steve, you probably noticed, some of the cable channels come out on the 2 meter band. I forget which channels there are, but there's a whole chart full of cable frequencies, and depending on how much cable leakage you have in front of your house, you could tune into the carrier to hear the interference of your cable, your cable company coming out from the street on the 2 meter band, or even the UHF band. Steve, over to you, WHCDM.
Yeah, CBS was on channel 1 for a while before the FCC reallocated it. And I've seen not there anymore. I've seen the schematic for the station. Used to be up in Chrysler.
Yeah, Peter, go ahead.
Okay, hello there, Steve. All right, well, I didn't know that CBS was originally on Channel 1 before the FCC made a change there. Okay, interesting. That was must have been before my time there. Yeah, now it's gone the other way. You're right. Now all these devices are interfering with ham radio frequencies, cable frequencies, and all these other wireless devices. Oh, well. All right, well, 8:35, I gotta head out to a store and mail a couple of things, so Good talking to you there, Andy. Steve, you take care, and maybe we'll do it again. W-A-2-C-E-L, K-A-2-N-Y-O.
Okay, very good, Peter. W-A-2-C-E-L. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. They're getting back at us now. So all the interference that we created, now they're creating it back to us. That's the way it is. So, all right. 73. Oh, I'm going to sign because I signed before, but I came back to you because you came in. I'm going to finish up what I was doing. Steve, Tanol, I will talk to you later, next time. WA2CDL. Steve, over to you.
Yep, see you later. WB2ZSC. Mobile listener.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Here it is. WB2. EAV, listening.
WB2 EAV, WB2 ZEX, are you listening for me?
Absolutely, Jerry. Well, I must confess, I don't recall speaking to you at this hour in quite some time, so I am pleasantly surprised. Welcome to the group. I know there is no group.
Might have been interference. You were cutting out a little bit, so I don't know, and your signal was a little noisy part of it, so I don't know where you are. Now, heading out to Long Island, we got to pick up some equipment that's being donated to the club that we can sell, so the club will receive all the proceeds. So, heading out to Richie's house, which is the second time I've been to his house, the third time in the past 12 weeks.
Considering how often you head out that way, I'm surprised you didn't say it's the third time in the past 3 days. I'm surprised you were having trouble hearing me. I'm running 50 watts into a collinear that has been working beautifully in Syosset. I mean, I've been holding the repeater beautifully out to exit 63 with this setup.
No, I think there was another carrier on that at one or two spots that knocked you out, but this last transmission was perfect.
Unlike me, my transmission was perfect.
All right, no, basically, I didn't go out. When was the first time I went out? We had to go to the post. We had to take care of something with the bank 2 weeks ago, and it was over at Jeff's house. We changed some antennas. I did it from the ground. I directed. They did the manual labor.
All right. So who did the manual labor?
Jeff and Martin. I don't know if you know Martin, W1EMR. They climbed up the side of his tower to get on his pitched roof. Not me. My rule is always 1 foot. Always on the ground. Actually, he was on the deck, but I did give him directions and how to catch a few tools that they tossed down and things like that. So someone has to really guide them, you know, from the ground on what to do, and I gave him a perfect suggestion, and it made it much easier for what they were trying to put up. I don't know, it must have been like a 6 foot boom with two meter 440 vertical, like 10 element vertical antennas on either side of the boom, hoisting that up to like a 10 foot tower section on the top of his roof, wasn't the easiest thing for them to do.
I understand. Now, how's... Question one, how steeply pitched is that roof? And question number two, I understand your sentiment about always having one foot on the ground, but you can't mean that literally, or you'd be very limited. For example, you'd be unable to go up the stairs to the second floor.
Well, I should really clarify that. One foot always on the surface. The ground surface, the floor surface, or whatever. I don't know. It's a roof they can walk on without a problem, so it's not that steep. I don't think it's as steep as mine. And, you know, the roofers come in, and the guy's putting the solar panels, and you see other guys on other houses on my block. And they just walk on this roof like it's nothing, you know, walk on this pitched roof like it's nothing. It's nothing like K2YW's roof, which I never saw. But it seems in that roof they had to put pieces of wood at the edges so you wouldn't slide off it. So it's, you know, it's a roof that people can walk on without a problem if you, you know, if you know how to walk on a roof properly. Me, I'd slip and that would be the end of it.
I did K2YEW's roof twice, and it was a brutally pitched roof.
Is that Jeff?
That's Jeff in Chihuahua.
Yeah, I've seen some houses that I would consider brutally pitched roofs, and I don't quite understand that. Possibly in some climates where you get tremendous amounts of snow and you don't want to accumulate, but that seems to be uncharacteristic for here. But anyway, Jerry, I think a large part of what you're talking about is a matter of acclimatization, getting used to it. I don't think, like, I have a moderately pitched roof. It's not bad at all, but I don't like it at all. But there are people who have no problem at all. I think there's a large element of just getting used to it. I have done some things in my life that at first I was very, very, very scared and tentative. But then as I got used to them, I loosened up a lot. And I assume it's another loss. Jeff, you want to take it? You want to go back to what you were doing and that falls to Jerry?
Yeah, I'll join in. I may have to... I got the radio on the other side of the room feeding back a little bit, so bear with me. Yeah, my roof is moderately pitched, too, and Jerry's talking about my roof. So, yeah, not bad at all. But Norman's roof was the worst roof I have ever been on. I had to shimmy up that roof on my belly and shimmy down on my belly in order to get up and down on it. It was brutal. Jerry?
WB2ZX, remember? Good morning, Jeff. One of these days you'll have to come over. I noticed my antenna when I was on field day yesterday was missing. I didn't hear 1-3 station. I didn't hear 1-1 station, except if they didn't live in you know, New England anymore. And all my antenna was beaming was Minnesota, Missouri. That's where all the field day people were, I guess. So I don't know. My antenna's still on an angle, and for some reason, the 40-meter antenna have a noise level of S9 throughout the entire band, so I don't know. Even though the SWR seemed to be okay when I hit the antenna tuner, but I think the other antenna is interfering with it as it's, you know, crossing it slightly at one spot. But then again, Dick originally said that you can put a 40-meter antenna right on top of a tri-band and it wouldn't have any effect on it because of the length. So I don't know. So anyway, you and Marty will have to come over someday and adjust that and put my vertical back up on the top of the tower instead of on the back porch.
Is that supposed to be
me? If that was you, you were completely broken up.
A lot of noise.
I don't understand it at all. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm an underpass. Oh, it seems to be Jeff. Jeff.
All right, you're almost unintelligible, so I don't know what happened all of a sudden, but anyway, yeah, Jerry, no problem. You just supply the armed guards.
No, Not necessary. Oh, someone knocked down a light pole in there. Repairing it on the southern state, but it's way off on the side, so it has no effect. Yeah, and you might have been in a dead spot. I think some spots by Syosset are dead spots for the repeater, so I don't know. But you were all broken up. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I was transmitting for the first time on the low band, and since I put my weather station up, and I don't know if it's a coincidence that when I switched the, added a new humidifier to it yesterday, a humidity sensor, I cut the power, unplugged the temperature sensor, plugged the humidity sensor in, plugged the thing back in, and I noticed the display was completely dead. So I don't know if it's the wire too close to the coax cable, which I don't think so, because it's shielded, and I'm running 50 watts all the time on the VHF radio, UHF radio, through that those cables. But something blew out the display and blew out the whole unit, so I'm going to have to discontinue the unit anyway, send it back to the company and see what they say. Otherwise, I should get a refund on the $180 humidity sensor I just picked up that I installed yesterday. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, let's see if he's still there.
I assume I'm still here, but I have to... I'm very upset. I'm normally absolutely solid here. I'm just got off the LIE 850.
All right, you've got some noise on your signal, but it's not as bad as it was before. We do hear you, and you are intelligible, Roger.
That's very weird. I used to do better than that from here with half the antenna I have now. Very, very perturbing. I moved heaven and earth to put this ridiculously large antenna on, and now I'm not getting the performance I got with the smaller one. It's upsetting.
All right, I'll send Jerry over to circumcise the antenna.
Ooh, hey, this antenna's 40 years old.
Yeah, remember, we moved the repeater antenna to a different location, so it's on a lower part of the roof, so that would affect signals from years ago when you used to make it. You may not be making it anymore. And that area by LIE and 110 is always, now you're far beyond that. Near there is always a bad area, I think. Maybe you can almost try Selden.
No, I'm too far west of Selden. And no, I'm talking about solid until I reach the little RF hole where I'm coming up to right now.
Now, we only got maybe 50% of that, Ed. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you should probably try UHF.
I'd be glad to try UHF. This rig doesn't have UHF.
Oh, well. What are you going to do? All right. Very good, very good. Jerry, where are you off to?
Yeah, heading out to Richie. We have to go to Port Washington and pick up some equipment that's been donated to the club that club will sell and make some money to compensate for the lack of hemp fest and things like that. I don't know what the stuff is, but it's all in boxes from a silent key that was in a rehab center or a nursing home, and they just, like, packed up the stuff and shipped it back to the widow. So somewhere in Port Washington, we'll go in the... Because it's mostly modern equipment, too, not like the boat anchors that we had over at Howard's house. So we'll, pick it up, and Richie will start putting it on the swapping shop or on eBay or send out a notice to club members. We'll see what it is first.
All right, roger, roger, roger. You guys need any help?
I don't know. I don't think so, because it depends on how much stuff fits in my car. I empty out the whole car. I don't know. Give Richie a phone call, see what he says.
All right, will do, will do. Ed, pick it up. And to Hawaii when I'm going to call.
WB2EAV, WB2ZX, you're in better location now.
I don't think this is going to work.
Forget it, completely unreadable. I just knew it happened to be you, but I mean, if someone else was listening, they wouldn't know it's you. So whatever it is, either you got a bad antenna or bad radio or just a bad spot. I don't know what to tell you, but it's horrible. WB2EAB, WB2ZEX, Mobile.
I'm back on H5. I'm going to sign and I'll check it out when I get home, but it was working 100 times better than this on the same route on Friday.
Well, you're 100% perfect on that last transmission on 8.5. It could be that, you know, just getting a dead spot. You know, some building went up, some crane was moved over, something that's blocking the repeater signal, or bouncing the repeater signal.
Over 20 miles.
You moved again and came up lousy. I don't know. It's, you know, you're at the fringes of the repeater at that location. You're the little spot in between 8.5 and 3.75, which you run last time was awful. So I guess I don't know where you're going, but you'll be in 3.75 range shortly and can switch over and then wouldn't have any problems.
This is N2ZUC Mobile listeners.
N2ZUC, WB2ZX. About 5 minutes to go and I'll be off the air.
Morning, Jerry. How are you today?
WB2EAB is back to sign.
KN is back and now he's readable. I'm fine. Heading out to Richie's house to gotta go pick up some equipment and things like that. And I'm like one exit from his location. All right, I'd take a full turn and give it over to Ron.
Yeah, I got a phone call, and now I'm just about where I have to be, so let me make this my final. All I can tell you is I'll check things out when I get home tonight. Over to Ron. Have a good day. WB2EAD.
Good morning, Ed. Have a good day. Gonna be a nice one today. Not as humid as yesterday. So you're running some errands today there, Jerry. Keep him busy.
Yeah, heading out to Richie's house. Well, you know, I was listening to the weather over the weekend, and, you know, they said forecast was thunderstorms and whatnot, and would have made field day a mess had it been outdoors. You know, had it been a normal field day, but it ended up it never rained until we would have just been, you know, it started raining in Brooklyn about 4:30. We would have been out of the field and just about finished. So it would have been a nice day after all, despite what the forecast was.
Well, in the summertime with the high humidity and the high temperatures, that's quite common to have a forecast for thunderstorms, a chance of this, a chance of that. It rained last night heavy by us. In Valley Stream. And I was on for a while on Saturday from home for field day. I didn't think the bands were all that great. The big guns were coming in strong. I took forever to make a contact. Until at night, then I did better.
No, after dinner, I did horrible. I think I made one contact in an hour. Yesterday was better because I went to 15 and made quite a few contacts on 15 and a few on 10. And, of course, the last hour, all the big guns, they packed up already. See, now you get these little people coming on, and you know, the band is that much, you know, quiet. But, yes, the bands are active. I couldn't hear anything on 40. 40 was just an S, have an S9 across the entire band. I don't know what it is with 40. But 20, 15, and 10 were okay. I could not hear any of the field day messages from the ARRL on any of the bands, including I even tried the receiving on 80, figuring, let me see if I can receive on 80 with the 40-meter antenna. I'm not going to transmit. But, you know, while the message was supposed to be on, I switched to all the frequencies down the line and couldn't hear them at all. So I don't get my 100 points, which would be probably all I'm going to make with the contact. So, I don't know. But I couldn't hear it in voice, and, of course, I don't have... wasn't set up for digital, and I can't copy code, so that killed those ideas.
Well, I don't wear code, even though I passed, I think, 9 words or 10 words a minute for general. Yeah, there's no more code requirement. I hooked up with George, KD2FIU, and I spoke to him on, this is in the evening, 10 meters and 40 meters. And surprisingly, 40 meters was not noisy. It normally is, and I hardly go there, but when I have gone on that band, it's always a very high noise level at my station anyway. But we had a pretty good contact. I got a kick. At least I spoke to somebody. As I'm pulling down my block, over to you.
I'm a few blocks away. Yeah, what's the horrifying thing? I don't know what George is using for an antenna, but I tuned the band, and there's a very strong station, the strongest station coming in like 20 over 9 from San Francisco, but it seems he's running like 660 watts. So, you know, I hear a local calling him that I know, and he didn't know anything about field day. And then George comes on and contacts him when I'm trying to call him, or right after George when I try to call him. And I never got him after like a half hour trying. I never got the guy. Then he finally stopped and gave up. And, you know, he says, all right, I'm leaving now. QRT. And that was the end of that. But I never worked the guy. But George worked. And when I have a three-element beam that's 60 feet up. So I don't know. Oh, well, just propagation and hitting it at the right time. Okay, I'm designated also. So 73's N2ZUC, WB2ZX will be clear.
Have a good day. Say hello to Richie. N2ZUC is clear as well.
Be mobile. You there, Charlie?
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2RFR testing.
W2RFR, K2KNB, nice to hear you on the radio.
W2RFR, W2KNB, that's pretty cool. Richie, nice to hear you.
Yeah, I'm always glad to hear myself too, Ray, but it's really nice to hear you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. In this pandemic, I got a chance to look for parts of my little HC that I misplaced, and I found a nice antenna that connects to it, so this is what I'm working on now.
So, are you at home now?
Yeah, I sure am. I was home since March 13th. I'm in COVID prison.
Yeah, it's just crazy. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, you're doing okay. If you're using an HD from Rockaway, you're doing really good. So, so good. We'll get you back on the air for a while.
That would be nice. May 18th, I ended up in the hospital. Had a heart attack, believe it or not. And I got 2 stents. And now I'm on a diet and taking all these pills. So, not a good time to have a heart attack during COVID. The first thing they did is they gave me a COVID test when I got to the hospital. I went to LIJ in Queens.
Yeah, ironically, we're going to we're picking up some stuff on passing St. Francis. St. Francis in a minute. No, not a good thing to have had that happen. And, you know, I wonder if stress from the whole event contributed to it.
Well, you would think so. But the doctor says to me that the fact that when he gave me the steps and he looked inside my heart, he says that the plaque in there and everything has been collecting for 20, 30 years. So, Maybe that big steak I had Sunday night, like, pushed it over the edge. But, no, whatever was happening was building up.
Well, I'm glad that everything was successful. Will you be going back to the union at some point, or are you finished with that?
I, absolutely will be working. I'm not dead yet. I'm just, under doctor care. And the doctor told me to do anything I want. I said to him, can I clean out the garage? He says, yeah, go clean out the garage. But he doesn't want me to sit idle. I should be active in some way. So, I'll be as active as I can, but I do not put myself in harm's way, so I don't go play cards with my friends until I feel it's safe. I don't socialize. I don't have my family over here. You know, we're doing everything that you should be doing during a pandemic. Not like if I lived in California, Texas, or Florida.
Yeah. Well, look, you're doing the right thing, and you take it easy. And I think salt air is good. I think salt air may do some damage to the virus anyway. But, wow, your sense of timing was really off there already.
You mean to have it during pandemic?
Yeah. That's unbelievable. And I do understand the COVID. And I know the hospitals were trying really hard to separate, because my we had a grandson born May 12th, same situation. Went to NYU Langone because they live right around the corner there, and again the need to have that separation and do the things that have to be done. In addition, taking care of the COVID patients was a difficult thing.
Mazel
tov
on your grandson's birth. That's always a good thing. The first thing they did to me when I got to the hospital is they gave me a COVID test, which I didn't like, but what choices do I have once I'm in the hospital? Tell me. So, timing could be better, but it also was a good thing because I wasn't working. I didn't have to lose any work. I was in the hospital 4 days, and it turned out that LIJ became a COVID-free hospital the time I was there.
Oh, that's excellent. I think that's one of the things that they've learned, either if there's a recurrence of this or if another kind of pandemic were to hit, and that is you got to make some hospitals COVID-free, and that allows you a great deal of flexibility. Anyway, Ray, I'm almost where I got to go, but it's really good to hear you. I'm glad that you're doing well after the heart attack. And, don't let yourself get stressed out and just enjoy everything. But hopefully we'll catch you quite often on the repeater. So, again, glad to hear you back. W2RFR, K2KNB, and I'll clear on your final.
Hi, Richie. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad to hear you. Especially glad to see another radio station. K2KNB, W2RFR, I'm clear, 73.
W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Whiskey Bravo 2, Mike Sierra Bravo Mobile listening.
KD2KNH Mobile, how's it going?
KD2KNH, Charlie, hello. Maury here, WB2MSB. You caught me on my usual trip. I'm making my rounds here. I got to stop in East Mauritius and then Yapak.
Well, Maury, I'm glad you threw out your name because I was drawing a blank. It takes a while. But you caught me on the end of my trip, but I'm just heading into Patchogue Village. I got a couple of service calls here, and you know how it is.
Yes, I do. I don't know if you've been out this way that often, but they're still working on Horse Block Road, exit 65, and the GPS hasn't quite figured that out yet, so it keeps trying to take me on that exit, which just puts me into a brick wall, literally. And so I want to take William Floyd down to 27 and take that out to East Mauritius and then make the trip up to Yapank. Did you have any fun on field day? Did you do anything? Back to you.
Well, unfortunately, all my equipment is down. My antennas are down. I'm moving. And they're laying at the new house right now. So I did nothing. But, yeah, I'm familiar with Horse Block Road. Neil Pharmaceuticals is one of my accounts, so I'm always over there.
Hey, Roger, Roger. Well, yeah, we're actually, I was thinking about that. We're looking at a place up north, and of course, I'm surveying the land to figure out where I can put antennas. The boss is looking at the kitchen, so we have different priorities, I guess. Well, I'm on William Floyd heading south, and I guess a little plane just took off of Brookhaven Airport because he's cruising along at about 300 feet, I would say. He probably should get a little altitude, but I don't know. He must have just taken off on, I don't know. I guess that would be runway 15 or so. Anyway, so you're heading into Patchogue. Very good. Back to you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that minimum altitude is. I think it's 500 feet. I could be wrong, but you'd know better. As long as there's no storms, looks like a good day.
Yeah, well, it looks like we may get a little lightning. We got some pretty good hits yesterday, and it's 2,000 feet above populated areas, 2,000 feet. If you're inside the... If you're inside the Class D airspace, it's down to the surface, but you're supposed to be above any obstructions. But, while you're on the upwind or on the approach, I guess that, of course, doesn't count. But in the old days, well, actually, the real old days, the tail numbers were big. Then they allowed small tail numbers, so it was harder to read them. Now they're back to big tail numbers, so it's easier for people on the ground to spot the number on the plane with binoculars and then report it to the FAA. So I think people are a little more careful now.
Right. Had that height restriction changed? Because I could have sworn it was 500 feet. I grew up in Islip in a residential area. My neighbor was a pilot that used to fly over.
I think he was talking about the lower limit of the what we now call the Class C airspace, but then in those days it would have been called the ARSA, the ARSA, the Radar Service Area, and that's sort of an upside down wedding cake around the airport. And for Long Island Airport, which is MacArthur, the controlled airspace extends down to 500 feet. So if you're below that, technically you're in uncontrolled airspace.
All right, that makes sense. Anyway, I'm just about to my destination. You have a good trip, and remember, the kitchen and food does come before antennas in my book, but we all have priorities. KD2KNH clear, 73.
73, Charlie, thanks for the comeback. WB2MSB, rolling.
WB2ZDX, WHCDL, you listening, Jerry?
W2VL, repeater.
Hey, Andy, it's good to see you. Jerry's driving. How are you? KDK Andy.
Oh, how you doing? Who's he driving? Is he driving somebody crazy? Is it one of those kind of drives?
KC2YSK.
Hello, Jay. I just went to lower the radio. Hello, Jay, and hello, Andy. Go ahead, pick it up, Jay, then I'll pick it up with Andy. This is WB2ZX Mobile.
Hey, hey guys, haven't spoken to you in a long, long time. It's been a bit crazy, but I'm on the road again, so I'll pass it over to you.
Go ahead, Andy.
Okay, I'll say hello to you, Jay, too. It's been a while, I just got in the car. You probably noticed, Jerry, already, I just thought I'd mention it. I was just reading QST going back to April of this year. So Boxborough has been moved to a different location. You probably know that. Or if you didn't, I'm letting you know. But it's not going to be in July when it was, where it was normally scheduled. They moved it to November, if they have it in November. But it's still going to be, in Massachusetts, I think they said about 16 miles away at one of the hotels. So I just thought I'd mention that to you because I know you go to Boxborough. I've never been there. I'd like to go. I was hoping that it would have been in July. That would have been nice. But they changed it. Jerry?
This is WB2ZX. It was never in July. It was in August, late August. They moved it to Marlborough. But it's, they're talking about outdoor, and it's going to be like the end of October, the beginning of November. I forgot maybe like the second week in November, because I don't think it was the day of the marathon. Oh, yeah, it was the weekend of the marathon. I don't know if it was October 31st or the following week, but it's outdoor. They claim the flea market area is bigger, but the flea market area was never filled up. It always had like that extra aisle, so I don't know. Steve already has his hotel reservation. I didn't put in for it yet, but it's probably going to be canceled just like everything else, so I wouldn't, really expect to go, but I may just put in for it just to see what happens, and then they cancel it. I cancel. Go ahead, Jay, then give it back to Andy.
All right, guys. Everything seems to be canceled. I mean, they've canceled the marathons. They've canceled everything. So, but hope you're all staying safe. I'm back at work, finally. I've been laid off for a couple of months for a load. But my work area is my dining room table. I have all my equipment sitting on my dining room and that's where I'm working from now. God, what a strange world we live in. Andy?
N2RBP.
Okay, I got Matt, N2RBP. Give it to you. Very good. I found the article, and it says, just for clarification, it says the Northeast Ham Exposition, formerly known as Boxborough, is moving and will take place this year, July 24th to the 26th. I guess it was supposed to happen in July. This is the April edition of QST of this year. But I looked it up online, and it did say it's moved from July to November. So anyway, if it's going to happen, like you said. But they did say here in July, not August. I just thought I'd clarify that. Yeah, and I would have made reservations to go. I would speak to somebody about possibly setting up a table. Because I've never done that, but that would be something that, since I didn't go to Nearfest, because that was canceled. And of course, like you said, everything is canceled, so we have to wait. Okay, let me give it to Matt, over to you, and then give it back to Jerry, W8CDO.
Andy, actually, I'm just doing some work from home. I'm just doing some training from CompTIA installation applications, insulin networking and tools, and I was just closing up some tickets. I'm actually on my ICOM 2410H. The radio is about 30 years old. It was N2PLS, my dad's, so I switched it over. I switched it to have an AB switch, so it's on beep and antenna on AB phone. Jay, I've been working, as of last week, I finished 14 works working from home at the college. I have a college Surface Pro. I use that. I use my own computer. And I've been out at the main campus about 6-7 times where they're deploying laptops at the loading dock at the Riverhead building, wearing masks, gloves, wipe the table down. But then can we get emails, you know, getting updates from ICSVP, and he's rising us. Well, I'll probably be back in the office in August. It won't be every day. It'll probably be like 2 or 3 days a week, and it'll be like 50%. That's how they're going to do it. Over to you, Jay. How are you?
Hi, Matt, and then I'll pass it over to Jerry. Good hearing you. Yeah, I guess right after Easter break, I had to teach the rest of my classes remotely from my computer room. Luckily, I had a whiteboard, and, you know, I use my iPad, and we use Zoom. But I don't know what's going to happen in the fall. How are they going to arrange it so that the kids are, you know, socially distancing? I think it's supposed to be physical, but I'm not sure what they're going to do. Anyway, I hope all is well. Jerry, over to you.
82 AMZ Mobile.
82 AMZ. I can't think of your name offhand. Recognize WB2ZX. Yeah, I've been working. I normally work at school 2 days a week, 2 different locations. One location kept me warm, and I've been working from home ever since. Which I like to do in the fall, too. They said it's no problem as long as they allow me to get paid. Once school sort of opens, I can work from home and do everything I can do from home and do at work, except actually see the students and hand them their programs. I can just send them electronically over. So the other school, they just called me a week ago, said, do this, do that. So I caught up in 12 weeks of work in one day, and hopefully I'll get paid for that. So we'll see what happens. AM, what was that? I forgot your call. What was it?
Mike.
Mike. Yeah, I can't think of your name. Mike. As Jeff says, Mike. Mike, pick it up, then give it over to Andy. This is WB2ZX Mobile.
ZX, KD2AMZ. Thank you. Hey, everybody. I'm taking today off. I had things I had to do around the house. I was supposed to get my HVAC work finished done tomorrow, but the contractor canceled because he can't get all the parts. So I'm going back to work tomorrow. Right now I'm driving to Home Depot because yesterday my cesspool overflowed, so I had to deal with that today. So it's a good thing I was home, but I did get my electrical work done and stuff. So off to Home Depot, get some flush valves and stuff like that.
Andy, pick it up. I guess he dropped it.
Hi, Andy.
Okay, perfect timing. I'm going to sign because I just I'm pulling into the driveway. So, 73. Talk to you guys later, WHCDL. 73
is Andy. Okay, whoa.
Jay, it's your turn, I guess.
All right, thanks, Jerry. I was hoping somebody would pass it along. So it's interesting, you know, because I work for a company that does a lot of schools, and we do their ID cards and so forth, so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out for the foreseeable future. They don't want anybody in the manufacturing plant, if possible, while they're printing cards. So they're just going to have a skeleton crew there. So I plan to be working from home, I guess, a while. Over to you. I'm not sure who gets it. Matt, maybe?
Into RBP. Are you still there? This is WB to ZX Mobile.
Yes. I still here. I got a ticket from the guy that runs the vents department at Brentwood, and they use a program called Visio. Visio is used to, like, you could do flow charts, you could do, but it's used, they use it to, when they do events in the field house, they could use a layout. So I installed it on one computer. They got a license. I have to install it on his computer when we get back. And I think I got an indication if he's going to put that on his computer, he's going to probably be using it to set up the classrooms where they'll be broken up for, social distancing. I get a phone, will they be back in August? I'm not sure if they're going to have classes or not, but maybe they're planning for the fall, and that's what they're going to do it. Okay, back to you.
WB2ZX Mobile, let me see if I have it. Okay, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with the social distancing. And for example, in the teacher's room, they have a row of eight computers, actually nine, but one is my personal one. So there's like eight computers and there are two on a table, so I guess they can only use every other one. And even in the computer rooms, when they have, one row, center aisle, and four computers on either side of it, they'd have to use, every other one. So I don't know what they're going to do because they're all bolted down, so it's not a matter of separating the tables. So I don't know what's going to happen. And also in the city, they're talking about maybe 1 week in, 1 week out, 1 week in, because the classrooms are saying that only should have like 15 students, half the, little under half the normal size of 34. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's going to, no one knows, but at least I can say one thing. They did create new software for us to work at home within a week. And I just got an email the other day that discontinuing the old system that I used for the past 30 years, using, a Windows 2003 server or Windows 2008 server. They're finally retiring that stuff. So they came up with a new system in the week that seems to work. I used to say I can do everything from home, which they used to call me all the time to do, except to get paid. So now I can do everything at home and get paid. Go ahead, Jay.
All right, hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm on Deer Park Avenue on the South Shore, so it's a little rough here. But, I got a problem because usually my class sells out. I get 35 students. There's room for only 36 in the room. So I don't know what they're going to do because they don't have lecture halls. They have regular classrooms in the multipurpose building. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Good talking to you. Stay well. And I'll catch you on the flip-flop, as they used to say. KC2YSK, I'll be clearing your file.
WA2CXR. K2MZ, you wanted to go back to me, guys. I don't know what the rotation is.
Give it to CXR, then you can take it, and we're going to sign because we're just about home.